The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Hey guys, I'm Whitney Port, and this is With Wit. A lot of you may know me from reality TV, and the reality is a lot's happened since The Hills. With Wit is dedicated to having real, raw, and occasionally ridiculous conversations with the people who have had a profound impact on me. Life-changing moments, life-changing people. Because on With Wit, very little is off limits. So I was listening to our episode that we recorded in 2019, almost 5 years ago now.
Yeah.
You were, I think, were you just starting to work at Harper's Bazaar?
I had just started working at
Harper's Bazaar.
I just hit my 5-year anniversary, so that's crazy.
That's crazy. I know. You moved back to LA yet?
No.
You were still in New York, and you were single and working hard and dealing with a little bit of like a breakup at the time. Mm-hmm. And you are in a very, very different place
now. Very different place.
So I guess why don't we just start off by like, obviously I know everything, but just like updating us on where you're at.
Oh my God. Well, 5 years sure makes a difference. I moved back to LA at the beginning of the pandemic. I flew home for what I thought. I had been in Paris for work at the end of February in 2020, and people were starting to talk about COVID and come down with it. I can't believe that it's been
this. I can't either.
Time is so weird.
Because I remember very vividly having these conversations with you about moving back here.
Yeah. And so I flew back because I had been in Europe. Work made me quarantine for 2 weeks. And I was like, well, I'm not staying in my New York apartment. I'll go home. I was seeing somebody in LA at the time, on and off. And I was like, I'll come home for 2 weeks. Flew back on March 1st. Never went back to New York.
So crazy.
Moved to LA, which is so crazy.
So crazy.
It's so crazy because I do, and I feel guilty about this sometimes, but I do really think that like a silver lining of this whole thing is how my life turned out.
100%.
Like I wouldn't have been able to move without that happening. And obviously, I'm not happy COVID happened, but we take the good where we can find it.
And that first year of COVID was, I don't know, the first year or two was really trying for you.
Really trying. Like, it was horrible.
You were single in LA, just moved back here. You couldn't really meet anyone.
No, we weren't
like, it was a very, very lonely time for you.
It was very hard. And I was still seeing that guy on and off, which was terribly toxic. And then, you know, people started dating again.
Yeah.
But I remember doing like FaceTime calls with guys because you really had, this was pre-vaccination, but the world was kind of open, kind of not. And so it was like, we're going to do a call because I need to know if I'm going to risk my life to
like
go meet you.
Pod.
Truly risk risk it all to go meet you in person. Because if it's a terrible call, then you save yourself from that trip.
But quarantining for 2 weeks to not be with anyone.
Exactly.
Or you become like my sister and you meet someone and then you guys just move in together within 2 weeks.
That's another way to do it. Totally.
So, okay. So the world was like kind of opening up a little bit.
Yeah.
And I know you've always been the kind of person that's wanted your happy ending. Like you've wanted your person, but you've kind of gone back and forth with like wanting it too hard, but also just like releasing it and letting it happen and knowing that when the right time is right, it will happen.
It will happen.
And that's what happened.
I really feel like I got to that place like later in my mid 30s, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like and during
I think
COVID.
That comes with maturity.
Totally.
I feel like late 20s, early 30s, you have these feelings of like everyone starting to get married and having kids around you, and you just like want it.
Right.
And then you start to realize like you just wanting it that badly isn't going to make it happen.
No. And it has nothing to do with anything. Like it doesn't, wanting it doesn't necessarily land you with the right person.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So thank God I didn't end up with any of those other bozos.
All those frogs. I know. So then comes Greg.
Yeah.
So how did you meet Greg?
We met on Bumble. We matched in mid-May of 2021. So only a little, I dated a bit like during COVID. Like I wasn't really out and about, but I was trying, you know, I wanted to be open and I was trying to be out there as in a safe way. Mm-hmm. And then we met online in May. We did a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
He asked to do a phone call. And I remember it was Memorial Day weekend and I was sitting in the parking lot of Ralph's, where I never shop, getting supplies to make Frito pie, which I also have made once
as one does
for a Memorial Day weekend barbecue. And that's when people were like trying recipes and really doing things with their time.
Yes.
And so getting really adventurous and ambitious. Haven't cooked anything since.
I love that Frito pie is like.
No, you have to make chili.
It's just shocking to me. It doesn't sound like anything you would ever eat.
Ever. And I didn't eat it. The girls at this barbecue requested it. And I was like, I'll take that on. Yeah. I have nothing to do. So I went and And Greg and I had a call. We talked for like 30 minutes.
Was it a FaceTime or just a phone chat?
No, just a phone call.
Okay. But you knew what he looked like from his
Bumble.
I did.
Yeah. And I remember just thinking he sounded really kind, really nice, and really familiar. Mm-hmm. Like I knew him already. Mm-hmm. And he had grown up in LA and he went to school near where we did. And he's older. So we didn't, he's only 7 years older, but we didn't quite cross over. We just missed each other in school, so we didn't really know any of the same people off the bat. But he grew up in Encino. I did too. Later, we found out that we grew up, I think it's like 0.6 miles in homes away from each other.
So crazy.
He truly grew up around the corner. And so, something, and rightly so, felt really familiar. Mm-hmm. Jewish, you know, all those things.
Yeah.
And so we made a plan to meet in person, and he took me to a restaurant that one of his oldest, closest friends from high school owns, called Lunetta.
Yeah.
And it was great.
It was a great
first date. I never, ever agree to dinner on a first date because it's too much of a commitment.
Yeah.
What if the person is a psycho?
Yeah, good tip.
And you've committed to a whole dinner. No. Drinks, coffee, a walk in a public area.
A place where you can have an easy out.
Easy out. Yeah. You need an easy out, and dinner is not an easy out. But I just felt like
you had a vibe.
I knew we'd have enough to talk about. If it wasn't a match, like it wouldn't get awkward.
Yeah.
So, but it was a match, and that was kind of it. We've been together ever since. That was June 3rd of 2021.
Oh my God.
And we've been together ever since.
So that first night, did you feel like immediately did you know there was a spark?
I felt like there was.
Yes.
I knew that all my intuition about our phone call had been right. He was really nice and personable, and there was definitely chemistry. And we walked to the parking lot after dinner, and I remember we both like did this very weird thing to do on a first date, which is like we started cracking our hips. I wish that I could give you a visual, but like we like were stretching and I was like,
time.
Whoa, we both do this. Like, A, we're old.
Yeah. But you've always done.
I know.
You've always been a little bit of like this person and
totally.
Like this person.
Totally.
Yeah.
But the hip thing, like we had been sitting for 3 hours and we both cracked our hips in the same way. I was like, wow, this is a great start.
Totally.
And then it took him 10 days to make another plan with me. And I remember thinking maybe I was wrong. And I only found out in retrospect that he had kind of been seeing somebody for a few months. It wasn't a very serious thing, but he wanted to end it the right way mm-hmm. before going out with me again because he felt something too. First of
such
all,
such a stand-up
so
guy.
Nice.
So
I know.
Nice.
I know.
Like, unnecessary.
So I'm like,
you're
I would have
like,
been ghosted.
You made me wait 10
yeah.
days.
Just, I know. Yeah. I know. And so I was like, God, maybe I was. And we went on a hike our second date, and truly, it was like off to the races mm-hmm. in a very slow and steady so, way.
Yeah.
But
because that's what I remember. I remember yeah. the beginning just being very like seamless and
yeah,
easy. Like he
easy.
Wasn't playing games
None.
With you like
no.
it had been in the past. There were no questions.
No.
Like you knew that he liked you. You knew
yep.
he was interested.
Yep.
It just goes to show you when like when it's right, you don't
it's
have
true.
Those questions.
It's
you
true.
Just don't. Get a taste of M, a hot new collection of craveable intimates from Maidenform, a brand with a whole lot of history. They've been around since the very first bras, and now they're bringing you a new kind of classic, the chicest basics you've ever seen. Maidenform is a brand with 100 years of innovation and category leadership. They wrote the book on bras, and M is their next big chapter. The material is buttery soft. I have some and I'm like, I'm obsessed. Like I like granny panties, but they make the most like seamless, sexy, comfortable looking granny panties. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that, but like they're super breathable and just the most comfortable underwear I could dream up. The other style that I love is the barely there high leg cut. They come in so many beautiful colors. All of their styles do. All of their styles are silky smooth, have no tags to cut off, and are totally invisible under clothing. All of their luxurious fabrics stretch and move with your body and feel a lot more expensive than they actually are. Great style and comfort doesn't need to break the bank. Another thing I love about this collection, even though they're made to be innerwear, Maidenform's pieces are so cute and chic. You can wear them out of the house, under a blazer, cute with like a lacy top, very easy to style into whatever look you're going for. Visit maidenform.com and use code WITHWIT20 at checkout for 20% off your first purchase. That's maidenform.com and use code WITHWIT20 for 20% off your first order.
What's up, everyone? I'm Sheena Shea. You may know me from 9 seasons of Bravo's Vanderpump Rules, but I'm here to tell you about my podcast called Shenanigans. We talk about everything from reality TV, pop culture, relationships, parenting, and invite you to join the conversations with Q&A sessions where nothing is off the table. There's so much more I want to share with you. Thanks for listening, and make sure to subscribe to Shenanigans to stay up to date with new episodes every Friday.
And it's so funny, all of the things that I feel like it's like all of the things that I learned about dating from him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't apply them anymore because I'm with him and
right.
we're, you know, now together. But I wish I had known these things earlier, like, you know, the, like all of the questioning and the what if and do I text this guy this?
Yeah.
Do I wait? It's like none of it matters because when it's right, it's either just going to work or it's not. It literally that though it's not real. That
it's,
stuff isn't real.
No,
it doesn't
so true,
exist.
But it's so hard when you're in it. But that's like.
Yeah.
As an outsider, yeah, as you want to say, like, it shouldn't be this difficult.
Right.
You know, like, if you have a friend who's going through this, like, it should be seamless. It should be easy.
Totally.
Because that's when you know it's right.
Totally.
Looking back on, like, the app dating, because I feel like, obviously, that's not, I feel like, I know that that's the majority of the way that people are really meeting
right.
now. Like, do you have any tips or anything that you would have done differently or like looking back on the whole app dating phase of your life?
You know, I think that a lot of people still, even though it is, I don't know what the stats are, but I feel like, as you said, so many people are meeting in this way now and there's less of a stigma. Like I remember I went to a wedding about 10 years ago and the couple had met on OkCupid
mm-hmm.
and that was unheard of,
uh-huh.
you know? And then through the years, you go to your Hinge wedding, your Tinder wedding,
J-Date.
Your whatever, exactly.
Yeah.
Pick your poison.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, I guess, I think the people...
I would say one, to first off, like, not judge yourself for doing it because it's just
no,
the way
that,
to meet
that,
people.
That's my main thing. Whenever
yeah.
I talk to, like, people still seem genuinely surprised when they hear that we met in that way.
Yeah.
Which I don't think it's surprising at all, especially given the COVID factor of it all and that people, you weren't going to a bar, you weren't going to a restaurant or wherever it is that people even meet
through friends.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Actually, yeah, I was set up with a few people, I guess, during that time. That always felt like a safe bet. But I think that some people, like I talk to a lot of women still and friends and acquaintances and, you know, something I hear a lot is I just know that my person is, I'm going to meet them in person.
In person.
I'm going to meet them in real life. And I just think that it's really closed-minded. And
I
don't know that it's necessarily true. And I think sometimes people say that because they're scared to go online for whatever reason of being judged. They're actually not ready or whatever it might be. And I just think that being open to it, I mean, it's changed my life.
It's completely changed
my
life.
And by the way, we have found out since that we knew 100 people in common. Again, we grew up in the same neighborhood.
Right, like you could have.
We could have, and
up.
We didn't.
Yeah.
And, you know, which just goes to show that you can find somebody, and not even that you need to find somebody that's from your world. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But the fact that we, all with all of the crossover, we never met.
Yeah.
And it took this and this timing. I just feel like it's worth it.
It's
why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you try?
It's just like another open avenue for you.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so now you're pregnant.
Yeah.
Like cut
That's
to.
That's a quick fast forward.
Cut to, you're pregnant.
Oh my God.
And you're due this summer.
Yeah.
And you're feeling like total shit. Before we get into feeling like total shit.
Yeah.
Did you, so you and Greg, you've been dating for 3 years.
Uh-huh.
We're 39 years old.
Yeah.
We have a biological clock. Like, when did the conversation start with him of like, this is something that I want and kind of we need to have this conversation?
Our first date.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I think Lunetta.
That's super important.
I think so too. And I also think that that's a thing that we as women do. And I know I've done in the past, like, I don't want to bring this up. Mm-hmm. I don't want to scare him away. Again, if it's the right person and you want the same things, that's not real.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, there is no scaring away because they want what you want.
That's so true.
And I remember, so he's divorced and he has 2 kids, as you know. And he asked me, he said something along the lines of, you know, what do you want a family? Do you want a family? I think I might have told him that I froze my eggs when I was, I think, 35 or 36, and which was a blessing because, and the gift of my lifetime, because when you don't have to worry about a clock in that way, you can allow yourself to find a partner who's really suitable and not just end up with somebody because you're desperate in a desperate situation to have children. And so that, gift of a lifetime that I was able to do it and afford the process and also that I got eggs.
I
mean, not everybody even does.
Right.
So, but we did talk about it on our first date and he asked me if I wanted a family and I said yes. And given my age and I think probably knowing his situation and but it's true. I was true to myself. I think I said something like I want one.
Yeah.
And that is true. I feel, you know, I don't know that I would have if I wanted three had said that on the first day.
Yeah.
But
that's
fine.
Know, and that's also you don't know. You knew that you wanted one.
Exactly.
You don't know if you want two or three or more. And so you didn't have to give that information.
Exactly.
Yet, but you knew you wanted at least
at
one.
At least one.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that was important to me. And by the way, it's so great to have those conversations early because if they don't want that and that's a deal breaker, which I feel like often that's a huge thing for men and women.
Yes.
That I would want to know. 100%. I would want to know sooner so that you don't waste your time.
100%. Especially with someone that has that kind of history. Like,
right.
You want to make sure that they're on the same path as
totally.
You.
Totally.
Yeah.
He could very well have said, I'm done. I have to, you know?
Right.
So I was really pleased to learn that he was also
down
very
for it.
Open to it. Like, yeah, I'd have one more, you know, whatever it is. I think he'd have more than one more, but.
You think he would?
Yeah.
But now, given how shitty you feel, would you?
I don't know how people do this.
The thought of it sounds.
No, I mean, remember I had a great day a few weeks ago and I was like, oh, I could do this again.
You're going to have it, though, and then I know, a year later, you're going to forget. I mean, who knows?
Everybody says this, yeah, though, that you really do forget, and you forget about the early hard days of being tired, and the time passes so quickly that you want a baby again.
But it's hard to hear it when you're going through it. Yeah. But, like, so you've been feeling like crap since it started.
Yeah.
And you are how many months exactly now?
I'm almost 22 weeks.
You're 22 weeks. Yeah. So you're just like just over halfway there.
Yep.
I was telling you, I remember I started to feel good at like 18 weeks.
Right.
I have a bad feeling for you.
Thanks.
By the way, same. But what are you doing to get through? What has the doctor, because like I know the nausea thing is like for me, I couldn't do anything.
Debilitating.
Like, completely debilitating.
Were you throwing up?
That's the things that I wasn't throwing up.
So that's really common that a lot of women just feel nausea but don't actually.
I didn't have the urge to throw up, but I was just eating and eating and eating to keep my belly full. Yep. So I was like gaining weight, but not, which was fine, but not throwing up. But I almost wished I was throwing up so that I could have the relief. But then you, I'm like thinking about you who's throwing up every single morning.
Yeah.
It's so true. Are you not taking Diclegis?
I'm on the maximum dose.
The maximum
four pills a day.
And
I don't think it does anything.
It just made me sleepy.
Yeah, I don't even think it makes me sleepy anymore. I feel like I'm at the point where I'm just...
You're like immune to it.
Absolutely.
And what else does Dr. Rothbart say you can do?
You know, he's been incredible. I don't even know where to begin. He also prescribes Zofran. Obviously, I'm not a doctor. Talk to your doctors.
Yeah.
But which has been really helpful, but it has some pretty crazy side effects.
Like what?
Like really severe constipation.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Which landed me in the hospital a few weeks ago.
Oh, my God. That's what it was?
Yes, that's what it was.
From the Zofran.
Sure was. Haven't taken one since, so I'm just nauseous all
dealing
the time.
Dealing with it.
Yeah. Yep.
Are you too scared to now just slowly put it back in?
I feel like it's emergencies only at this point.
Okay.
I have it and I would love to take one every day or every other day. It's a miracle drug.
It really is, to me,
it is the only thing that has made a difference. There are things, you know, ginger ale, ginger chews, ginger tea.
Like smelling peppermint oil.
I would just watch this video. It's the funny thing is that everything, it's like I'm such a solutions oriented person and I can't crack this.
I know.
Like I'm dehydrated, so I drink and then the water makes me nauseous.
Right.
I'm tired, I lay down.
And then
I start, I literally sleep sitting up. Like I can't
get comfortable.
No, because of like this post-nasal drip that has developed since I started pregnancy. That's been the culprit for everything.
Paige had that too. You should talk to her.
I should talk to her.
Yeah, we'll talk to her after this.
We'll go to her office.
Do you have any kind of like heartburn or indigestion
all
or
day.
Anything?
I'm
all
taking
of it.
Pepsid-A C.
I knew you were going to have every single step.
Pepsid-A C twice a day. I do saline spray up my nose to try to clear it out. I need to go to the drugstore to buy Mucinex today. I mean, and then also trying to like keep my body flowing. So like Dulcolax twice a day.
Oh my God.
Fiber Metamucil thins, fiber one bars, high fiber diet, staying hydrated. I go to this woman who's a doula for acupuncture because I heard that that could be helpful with nausea. And I was like, I will try anything. And she's incredible. And she said to me a few weeks ago, the first like 30 minutes of your appointment, you kind of talk and it's legitimately therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, she said something along the lines of like, you have to stop trying to fix this.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, it's just about managing it because this just might be your situation.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It's like radical acceptance. We can deal with this.
Uh-huh.
Like there's no way out but through. It's kind of just like, I think riding it like a wave.
Yeah.
Eating something usually helps, but it's also like
that
this could help or I could go throw this up.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen. It's 50-50. It's really just getting through the days right now.
Yeah. And how,
you know,
that just must be so difficult because you are such like a high functioning, productive person who's like the leader of your family pretty much and making the plans and like you're working, you are an editor at Harper's.
Yeah.
Like how have you been able to Like, have you been able to have open communication with your with your friends, with your coworkers? Yeah. Like, how has that process been for you?
It's been hard because I feel like, and I think that so many, obviously, I have so many amazing mom, like, friends who are also moms like you and all of these women who have done this before me. Mm-hmm. And so I just always think about, like, I don't know what women do without these outlets and without these resources. Like, I feel so lucky. And mm-hmm. it's been... Like, I'm so lucky that I work at a place where I work for, I kind of have two bosses, and I, you know, both of them have been incredibly understanding mm-hmm. and compassionate. And I, you know, I think they know that I get my work done and get my job done, but that I, you know, I'm having a hard time right mm-hmm. now. I literally have had to, I'm on Zooms and turn off the Zoom, go to the bathroom, throw up, come back. Mm. And it's, you know, and that I'm, it's not a complaint. It's just the reality of the situation right now.
Yeah.
And in the beginning of the pregnancy, everybody, you know, women who have been through it first trimester, you're so tired. I just think about, like, that's what it's made me think about more is really how lucky I am.
Yeah.
And I think about women who have to be at jobs on their feet from 9 to 5
with
doing
other
God
kids
knows
at home
what exactly.
And, yeah.
And don't have the option to lay down for 20 minutes mm-hmm. and kind of recharge and get their shit together. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they do it. I guess we all, it's just mind over matter. And I think, like, they're my heroes in my head, you know, because I feel like in comparison, it's like, you know, some women are have it a lot harder than me, and I'm sure a lot of women have it a lot easier.
All, of course.
You know,
like, it's so, all relative, right. 100%. But it's these conversations that are so important that I always hope that who's ever listening, whether they own a company or they work for a big company, that, like, people are understanding women's health and how women cannot be just, like, disposed of when they go through these phases.
Right.
Like, these are phases and parts of our lives that everyone wants us to have. Like, the world, everybody wants us to have babies
procreate.
And all this. And so it's just, like, this is going to, these things are going to happen.
Right.
They're inevitable. And it's just so important that, like, everyone supports us while we're going through
100%.
It. 100%.
I mean, it makes me think there should be, like, a leave policy in the beginning of your pregnancy.
If you suffer from this, 100%. From, like, what is this nausea? I feel like Amy.
Well, there's this. I do not have the hypergravidarum.
What, like, Amy Schumer
had. Yes, Kate Middleton. And yes. No, those people are throwing up, like, I think 10 to 15 times a day. Mm-hmm. It's nonstop. That is, I'm pretty much clockwork first thing in the morning.
You're,
and
like,
then,
a morning sickness.
Totally.
Like, general morning sickness throughout the pregnancy.
Exactly. Sometimes something exciting happens.
Like, yeah.
In the afternoon and night, but usually it's pretty standard between, like, 5 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Yeah. So you're 22 weeks pregnant and you're also planning a wedding.
I mean,
like, you're not, are you calling it?
No.
You're not calling it a wedding.
No, no, no.
You're having like a mini nuptial.
I'm calling it, we're going to City Hall and then having a small dinner party with our family and a few friends.
Right.
That's what I'm calling it.
In the hopes of having, like, a rager next
year. Oh my
year.
God, that's all I want. And it's like, that was always the plan, was to go to City Hall in the spring and in the meantime try to get pregnant. I don't think that I or Greg or anyone else thought it would happen as easily as it did.
Fast. Yeah.
And I also don't think I thought I would be as sick as I am.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, my hope is to do something next year with all of our friends and family that we love, and our baby will be there, which is completely insane to think about. But it's, I mean, the other stuff that you were mentioning is, like, that's the, like, managing my job. We have three dogs. We have two kids half the time. Like, it's all, doing all of those things and being so used to being a person
who
takes charge and shows up and gets everything done.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love it. It's not because I'm a martyr or trying to be some type of woman. But
no,
I
that's
really,
always just been how you are. Yeah. I think right now it's just so important. And I feel like you do this, but to just tell yourself, like, this is just a phase.
Totally.
Like, this is not who I am. Like, I am not a lazy, like, unwell, like, I'm, you know, person who just wants to lay in bed and, like, not, that's not who I am. It's just my reality right now.
Right. And you always gave that advice. And I remember when you had Sunny And before, like you always said, everything is temporary.
Everything.
Everything is a phase. Yeah. And, you know, for better or for worse, you know, because it goes by quickly. And I remember somebody saying about pregnancy, like, goes by quickly. And I was like, this can't go by fast enough.
Yeah.
And I'm somebody who never wants to wish away time. We want to be present. Mm-hmm. We strive to be
but
present.
But this, you're like, but this, so
oh,
ready.
Yeah, speed it up.
Yeah, speed
let's
it up.
Let's go. Yeah, yeah,
have
yeah.
Have you thought about, like, labor plans, like what, how far into you? Because I feel like I haven't had a full catch up with
no,
you in a couple
we haven't
weeks.
Talked
like,
about
like
it.
Like baby nurse, birth plans.
Yes.
What are we thinking?
I'm kind of in the headspace of have a loose plan and be willing to throw it all away. Mm-hmm. Because, and I think that's also what I've learned from like from you and from other friends, like even as far as breastfeeding goes, you know, first of all, what I would like to do is have a natural birth or mm-hmm. vaginal birth, uh-huh. I guess we would say. Mm-hmm. And I would like to get what's called a walking epidural because uh-huh. my body, as I think we all know now, is very sensitive. Yeah. Like I can't even take a double dose of Tylenol because I'll throw it up. So I can't
so
imagine
different.
What a real epidural would do to me. I think I would be in outer space. But I also am like totally pro meds. So
yeah.
if they would give me that, it is like a lower dose mm-hmm. and I would like to do that. But if I need a C-section because the baby needs to come out ASAP, we're going to do that.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
if there's no time for an epidural and I have to do this naturally, I'm going to do this. If the walking epidural isn't enough and they can give me more, I'm going to take it. So I really don't feel married to anything.
I think
this
really
whole
smart.
Thing has taught me that you can make whatever plan you want and the situation, you know, a friend who's also pregnant recently said that her doctor said to her, it's 10% you, it's 10% me, and it's 80% whatever is going to happen.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, that feels really spot on.
Mm-hmm.
And same with breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm.
I want to try.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe my milk doesn't come in. Maybe mm-hmm. I'm a head case because I'm not sleeping and I'm married to this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I get mastitis over and over again like mm-hmm. you did and I can't
do it.
You know? So
yeah.
it's whatever I have... an idea of what I would love in a mm-hmm. perfect world, but I'm also very, very comfortable with surrendering to the fact
to whatever
that it's
happens.
Not a perfect world.
Yeah.
Yes.
Say hello to your IRL makeup filter in a bottle. CoverGirl's Simply Ageless Skin Perfector Essence. This innovative skincare makeup hybrid looks and feels so unique. So, developed using micro droplet technology, pigmented capsules burst and blend to easily distribute a very sheer, even tint with a plant-based retinol alternative, which works to reduce the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles. It's the perfect base for the fresh face, no makeup look that I always go with. So I definitely recommend it as an alternative to the foundation you're using if you like coverage that usually feels less heavy. After using it consistently for like a month now, my complexion looks plump, it looks bright, it looks refreshed. CoverGirl's Simply Ageless Skin Perfector is clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and contains 71% water that provides an instant burst of moisture upon application and keeps your skin hydrated for up to 24 hours. It's made in 8 adaptable shades to complement all skin tones, and it can be worn alone or as a nice primer under your favorite foundation. It's amazing that you can walk into a drugstore and get a product of this quality. So convenient, and you won't find this formula from any other drugstore brand. Glowing, radiant skin is only a pump away, only from easy, breezy, beautiful CoverGirl. This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. Saks.com is just the best, and it's been one of my favorite shopping sites forever. It's also one of the easiest places that I go to find instant style inspiration for any new season or when I'm just feeling like I'm sick of my clothes. I have a bunch of stuff coming up this spring, trips, events, whatnot, but because it's been like weirdly cold in LA, I haven't really had much of a chance to get into full spring fashion zone. Perusing Saks.com is definitely a pastime I can get lost in. I love picking out certain standout items and then challenging myself to build whole outfits around them. These are honestly the kinds of games that I like to play with myself. You can shop Saks.com for anything and everything on your calendar, whether it's a fun Staud getup for a date night, flowy resort wear for the next vacation, a chic Chloe blazer for a lunch meeting or cocktail hour, or just like your basic, necessary, well-made essentials. Or maybe you're just like me and just feel energized by a closet refresh. Saks.com has everything you could want with timeless styles that make you feel good inside and out. And to be honest, I'm eyeing way too many things than I should be right now, specifically some pointy-toe red Prada shoes and some funky pieces for summer. They just have too many gorgeous things. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com. Do you feel, because I feel like having this baby and having a lot of friends who have had babies, like, do you feel like you wish you knew less going into it?
No.
Or do you feel like you're glad you have all of this information going into it?
I want everybody recently has been like, well, I'll tell you my birth story after. And
yeah.
I'm like, I want it now.
You want to know.
I want to know everything.
Yeah.
Because also I just feel like knowledge is power. Information is power. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, maybe hearing these stories could help, because if I'm in a similar situation, I will have a heads up or an inclination of what to do.
Totally.
And if I'm not, then it has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're so right.
It has no impact. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
I know. That's
kind of how I feel. I want every story. I want.
Yeah.
Also, I'm like, I don't understand how people just know. No, I'm like, I don't know what I need. I don't know what to do.
No, the thing is that nobody just knows.
I know.
Everyone's like either pretending to just know but guessing or asking their friends
right.
or following people to know what
right.
to do. But nobody just knows.
What do people without
those resources?
Right. Like, what do they do?
I feel like there's a motherly instinct that comes
sure,
in, obviously. But for most things, like, I didn't know. I think that the goal is to, like, tune into your gut feeling
right.
first.
Right.
And then if you really don't have one or you really don't know,
right.
that's when you have to ask for help. But
who did
like,
you go to? Because you were the first of your siblings.
Yeah. I think for me, I tried to – that's a really good question. Who
you
did
were one
I
of the first.
Go to? I know. Caitlin calls me like a child, like mom, but I was 32.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't.
No.
I remember when I was having all the issues breastfeeding, I was turning just like to experts.
Yeah.
Like the lactation specialist
yes.
and
yeah.
all that stuff. Like I didn't think that I was. My sisters hadn't gone through it yet. You
yeah.
hadn't gone through it yet. Yeah. I didn't really have like that network.
Yeah.
And I'm also kind of not, I sort of deal with things on my own. And then like a couple weeks later, I'll tell mm-hmm. my friends kind of mm-hmm. how I dealt with it.
Yeah.
Like I just don't, I don't require like a support, if that makes sense.
You don't like vote by committee. You
yeah.
don't live by committee.
I'm like,
great.
Timmy and I kind of will problem solve on our own and then we figure it out. But okay. So no, I think the labor plan is major, like not having it, like knowing what you ideally want,
totally.
But not being married to anything.
Exactly. Because
that's when I feel like things can get chaotic.
I agree. And then I feel like then you're just married to expectations and it's setting yourself up to feel a disappointment in yourself. Like, and I feel like I was really feeling that in early pregnancy because I was like, I thought I knew what I was going to be like mm-hmm. during this. I mm-hmm. thought I was going to be that cute. Dressed, you know, person who ate really well and who was so positive and was like an earth mother who loved pregnancy.
Uh-huh.
And I remember this doula that I also see said to me, like, you don't have to like this.
Mm-mm.
And I remember that being so freeing because I was like, I like two things can exist at once. Like, I can feel like the luckiest person in the world that this happened for us in the way that it
mm-hmm.
did. And I truly like wake up and go to bed not believing
that
this
happening.
Is happening.
Yeah.
It's so exciting and I'm so happy. And at the same time,
want to die.
I want to die. And I hate it. And it's not for me.
That's
and
how
I'm
I
so
felt
sorry.
Too.
And I'm so sad
but
it's not for me.
But you don't have to say sorry. That's the whole thing. Like, that was my whole series on YouTube. I love my baby, but I
remember.
Hate my pregnancy.
I remember.
And Sunny is worth every single second of that pregnancy. Do I want to do it again? I mean, I've had it, like, I've gone back and forth for 5 years. Yeah. And, like, it's so, that has stuck with me, but it's never, you never question. It's like
no, and I know that, but it's like those expectations really made me disappointed in myself until I was able to release it and just say, I want this.
It doesn't make me a bad person,
and I also feel horrible and don't like feeling this way.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Your doula sounds amazing.
I know. Do I hire her for that?
I know. Has she asked to if you want her in the room with
you? No, she hasn't. I don't work with her in that capacity.
Okay. She's just doing the acupuncture.
The more I see her and spend time with her, I really do feel like it's amazing to have that advocate and to have somebody who has no kind of like skin in the game would be
except
a
for
benefit.
Your comfort
exactly.
And your,
exactly.
Yeah.
Would be a benefit. But then it's also like, I have always really thought that it would just be, and I thought this before I met Greg, it would just be me and my husband in that room. Like, I really want that moment for us and the two of us. But also the, you know, I
you
kind
could
of go
also
back and
have
forth.
Her there. To help manage pain and whatnot.
Totally.
And then once it gets time to
totally,
push,
it's the two, right.
You're like,
right.
See you later.
See ya.
Even though my mom was in there, which was very also
amazing. I know. Everybody has different wishes, which is also the great thing of,
it's all our own journey.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Have you thought about back to work and
have
what that looks
about
like?
I have thought about that. I will. My plan is to take the full maternity leave that my company and the state of California offer, which is
what, 3 months?
No, it's like closer to 5, which is incredible. It's really interesting. It's, I believe the company gives 10 weeks and then the state gives disability. And I believe it's 6 weeks if you have a vaginal birth and 8 weeks if you have a C-section.
That's amazing.
And then you can take your 2 weeks of vacation for the year on top of that,
well,
which nets out
little.
About, I know, at about 20 weeks.
Okay.
So I'm going back to work. I've never seen myself as somebody who would not work after baby. It's such a part of my DNA and I love it. And I imagine that finding value in what I do every day in addition to being a mom is going to be a hard thing to navigate, but also something that I want. Also, I'm in no position to not have an income.
You're like, I don't
But no. So my intention is to take the full mat leave.
Yeah.
I also can totally see a world in which maybe at like 4 months, maybe I'm ready
to
dip my toes back
stuff.
In.
Yeah,
and,
I could see that
back.
For you too.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot. It's you do want to take the time, and I sort of regret looking back on it. I went on a trip like at 4 weeks postpartum.
Okay.
And then after
with
that,
Sunny?
No, without Sunny. And
okay.
I was like pumping in the airport, in the airplane bathroom and
you
like
and
freezing
Timmy,
my
or what
milk.
Did you do?
I went by myself. I like went, it was like a month after Sunny. I went by myself.
Where?
It was to New York. Oh. I was like going on the Today Show or something and
I
had to do it.
This.
And I think that kind of ripped the Band-Aid off. And then I like immediately got back to work. And I wish looking back on it that I had
taken more time
and really enjoyed that like bonding time.
Totally.
So I
But
urge
I also
you,
think that that's so cool because 3 days away or whatever it was doesn't take away, but like what an empowering thing to know
that you can,
that you can do that.
That's true.
That
and
you
also,
are, you know?
Yeah, it set me up for being able to have those boundaries, like not have separation anxiety, be able for Timmy and I to travel or go out to dinner.
You guys are my full inspiration
for
that.
Like
the way that you live and balance being parents, but also putting your relationship at the forefront and yourselves as individuals. It's, I think, so hard, you know?
Yeah.
I think that a lot of people become beholden and understandably to these little people.
I know.
And also, you know, obviously, you know, we're to be able to afford to do these things is such a privilege and great. But I also think that it takes such an effort and such a kind of like a letting go that's so healthy for, I'm not a parent yet, but I really think it sets you up to be able to have, like, let your children be independent and to have your own independence.
Totally.
I think it's so important.
That's always been, like, I feel like my mom always, she said it to us all the time before we had Sunny, like, remember you were two before you were three.
That's right.
And she would always just remind us that it's so important that, like, the foundation and that us as a couple were doing what we needed to do to take care of ourselves individually and then to also, like, honor our relationship.
Well, the family doesn't work if the two of you don't work and if you don't work as individuals.
Exactly.
So it all trickles down and it all is for the benefit of the greater good, I think. And I hope that we will follow in your footsteps.
You will. Seriously. And you'll have two, like, preteens that are, like, sort of like there to help.
I hope.
I've even said if I were to have another, having Sunny be like at least seven, I could be like, watch the baby for a second, 100%. Go grab me a diaper. Like, you're going to have extra sets of hands.
I know.
That you definitely have to put to work.
I know. It's exciting. It's I think it's going to be very sweet and it'll be interesting.
How are you feeling right now in this moment?
Fine. So distracted.
Really?
So happy.
Good. We can talk about me if you want to know what's going on.
How are you? How's your journey?
I'm fine. I know. We haven't. So,
which also, by the way, is a really interesting thing, and I'm sure comes up in friendships a lot.
Yeah.
Of just people, you know. And I think that I saw this so much when I was younger. People getting married. People having children. Is it going to happen for me? And nobody's joy it didn't take away from me or make me feel bad, but it makes you kind of wonder what's going to happen for you. And now we're at this next phase. And I remember, like, I was really scared to tell you that we were having a girl. Mm-hmm. I didn't want it to hurt you. I didn't want you to feel sad. And I waited like weeks to tell you.
Yeah.
And then I told you and you.
I was like why were would
the
you
most
ever?
Joyful. It was the most joyful reaction of like anybody. And I was like, oh, of course this is because we're all just happy for each other.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, you're going through your own thing.
Totally.
And now it flips, it flops.
It flips,
you
and
know?
You never know the position that someone else is going to be in. I guess for me, I always am like, whenever I'm with you, we're only talking about you, and I'm not even really thinking about myself because I'm also like, I already have my one.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
And I'm so lucky to even just have that.
Totally.
And I almost don't even want to think about my situation because like when I think about it too much then it feels like I have to do something about it and I'm just very triggered, like I'm just in a place of like just not knowing right now. But what's also interesting about our relationship is that we are such best friends, but even if we haven't like we'll text, but we haven't gotten together in maybe a couple weeks. So and so much can happen.
So much happens.
And it's like I now have a full life update
You have a full birth defect to talk about.
I talked a little bit about this, but long story short, I went in and got this test done, and they saw that I have something called congenital uterine septum, which is a birth defect that my siblings don't have. Like it's basically where it doesn't really leave like a nice surface area for the embryo to implant.
Okay.
So they were saying it's like 20% chance that a baby like that you can get pregnant and it will stick. So I'm like, Sunny is basically this 20%. That has even given me a different outlook on all the miscarriages and like the past 5 years.
Yeah.
On one hand, it makes me very frustrated that this test wasn't done 5 years ago so that I could have gotten this procedure and then gotten pregnant at 35 or whatever. But what they found was that I can go get a procedure done to basically correct the uterus, but that there's still like, do I then implant an embryo? Do we just try ourselves and have fun after that?
Right.
Like, do you, it's just another layer of the situation that is just like, ugh. You know, like I thought that the next step would maybe just be me implanting the embryo myself and just seeing how it went. But now I can't just, it's not as simple of a step as that. Right. Collagen is so important for your skin because it gives natural support and firmness to your face. I've learned so much about collagen. Listen, did you know that after the age of 21, you start losing 1% of your collagen every year? But the answer isn't taking just any basic collagen supplement, okay? You're not just going to the supplement store and getting a collagen supplement, because I learned that your body digests regular collagen supplements like any other protein, and that the collagen doesn't necessarily go to the right place to help your hair, skin, and nails. That's why science-backed BioSil works way more effectively. BioSil is a premium product that helps you generate your own collagen and helps protect the collagen you already have. With over 30 years and $30 million in research, BioSil is clinically proven to work for healthier hair, skin, nails, and it increases skin elasticity by 89% and decreases the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles by 30%. It's completely vegan and works magic on hair, skin, and nails. It's easy to take, no mixing, no mess, and easy to travel. All you do is take BioSil twice daily for the full clinically proven results. It works for women and men alike. It's safe for pregnant moms to be or when breastfeeding, which is why I've been taking it just in case I decide to go down that road. And this is the perfect choice for those who aren't comfortable with taking an animal-derived collagen. Ready to join me in the BioSil Club? Get 30% off your first product order on BioSil's website with code WITHWIT. Again, that's code WITHWIT for 30% off your first order or subscription exclusively on BioSil.beauty. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases. So I'm kind of in the same place, like, just sort of taking it day by day. I don't have any sort of answer or plan of what I'm going to do. Okay. Like, my next step is really finding out what the procedure looks like. Right. Like, what does the surgery entail?
Totally.
What's the recovery time like? Even that, though, I've been talking about that for 2 weeks and haven't made the call to see what the procedure is.
I mean, that's big news to get, though. And also, what does getting the procedure ensure that you will have?
It doesn't ensure anything.
Right.
And then I talked to someone else who was like someone that, you know, and the more that you have these conversations, the more people have input or other people for you to talk to. So then I told someone this story and then they're like, you have to talk to my friend who founded this company. It's called this. She knows everything. So I'm like, okay, I haven't really talked to anybody about this in a while. I'll do this call. So I call her and she's like, you can't do any fertility stuff in LA. Like, LA is the worst for fertility. You need to go to New York. You need to go to Columbia before you do the surgery, get more tests done. If you're going to do the embryos again, do it in a lab in New York. I'm like, wait, what?
Oh my gosh.
So it's just,
it's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming. It's really overwhelming. And so Timmy and I are kind of like, right now he's going to call and do the research for the surgery.
Okay.
I can't, it's like another part-time job for me.
Totally.
And I'm procrastinating it for a reason. And so he's going to call and do the legwork of like what the surgery entails.
Okay.
And then we're kind of going to go from there.
Great. I also think that's what these weeks can be about. It's like exploration, research, conversations, some that I'm sure will be useful and some that will make you feel
a certain way about something
or paralyzed or whatever it is.
Well, that's what my therapist said. She's like, instead of labeling it as procrastination that you haven't done this and like judge yourself for not taking these steps, like, look at it as you doing this work to like more of to to have more, it be a exploratory phase.
Exploration
like
phase,
your brain
100%.
And your body is obviously not wanting you to do something for some sort of reason. So like, why put a label on yourself?
Right.
Like, it's just hard though, because I do procrastinate and I will like put things over here as to not deal with them. Mm-hmm. So for this one in particular, I'm like, is it procrastination? Is it me not wanting to do something? I'm like, I don't know.
Trying to figure out why.
Yeah.
Just let it unfold.
Yeah.
You'll figure out why.
Yeah.
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 It's a lot of news. It's a lot. Jeez Louise.
I know. But other than that, it's like, it's the same as you. Like, you think about that. It's this one little thing. And then I hear myself speak and I'm like, stop complaining. Like,
I know.
Turn to gratitude. Everything else is so great. Like, you have this amazing relationship.
I
you
know.
Have a beautiful 6-year-old. Like,
right.
You're so blessed. Like, stop worrying, you
I know?
Know.
But it's also that thing of like, both things can be true at once. Like, you've always said, if it's just us and Sunny, like, everything's going to be fine. And also, mm-hmm. thank God you have him.
You
would be in such a dark place if you still, after 8 years or whatever, weren't able to conceive. And so it's true. Like, it's true. Like, every time I hear myself complaining, I feel the same way. I'm mm-hmm. like, gratitude, turn to acceptance, mm-hmm. just think about the positive stuff. But, mm-hmm. you know, the reality of the situation of what might be, and that maybe you won't be able to achieve
or like
the
feel
dream
complete.
Right
yeah.
right but you will.
I know,
if this is what it is and it's the three of you, you're complete.
It's
you're
true.
Already complete.
I
whatever else
just
happens is an addition. It's a bonus. Mm-hmm. I think
that's what I have to like truly believe, and like I'm getting there. Because it's kind of it's almost out of my control.
Right.
But it just feels hard. I do feel that way. I really, really, really do. And the thing is like, I want to just be handed the baby.
I know.
I don't want to have to go through
all of this. I know.
All of this.
It's not but that simple.
It's not that
as
simple.
As we know. Mm-hmm. No, but it's funny. I was like, also, like, I was also thinking about that in terms of, like, partnership. Like, I remember, like, getting to a place just before Greg that was, like, I am a whole person now. Mm-hmm. And if it's just me mm-hmm. and figuring out what life looks like, everything else is a bonus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, and it has and been. It, oh, my
yeah.
God. Like, the biggest
yeah.
ever. But you have to, I think it's just so important to, like,
believe that.
Sit in discomfort and mm-hmm. to get to wholeness mm-hmm. in the place you are now
mm-hmm.
because this is what it could look like,
yeah.
you know? And like, what a blessing.
How amazing is it?
Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, we want what we want. So
yeah.
those things exist too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard.
All right. I'm going to ask you just like a few personal things.
Okay.
and then we can wrap up.
Do you want to talk about how the doctor had to pull poop out of my butt? No, I'm
stop
just kidding.
Is that what what happened?
Yes.
You were so dehydrated that they had to go
I
in your
so
ass?
I was so Zofran'd up that they had to manually disimpact me. I just remember him saying to the nurse, pull down your pants and pass me the KY jelly.
Stop
it. Swear.
Oh.
And then
my
they went up.
God.
They got it out. And then I got put on 2 bags of fluid and just sat there for the next 2 hours.
Oh, my God. That yeah. makes me think that vitamin therapy is actually going to be amazing.
I know.
For you.
That's what I think, too.
Yes.
I agree.
I did
straight
it
straight to an IV.
Straight to, and
give
you know
me that IV.
Put Zofran in the IV.
I know. But that scares the literal shit out of me. Yeah. No.
Oh, right now, any mantras that are getting you throughout the day?
No way out but through.
Yeah, that's like our
no way out but through.
No way out
yeah.
but through. You
yeah.
got to just feel it. I like what you just said, to sit in your discomfort
yes.
to like feel wholeness.
Yes. That was something a therapist about 7 or 8 years ago said when I was in another bad relationship. He would always say, sit with the discomfort of being alone. And it trained me to be that to learn and understand and really believe that being alone was better than being in toxic company.
Uh-huh.
So that has always been a very, very helpful mantra for me. And I think that's something Greg and I say a lot to each other.
Yeah, I think that you can use that in like every single scenario.
And I think
scenario.
Kids need to hear it too. Like I think, I mean, that's a whole other podcast, but that just children are...
Every
obstacle is being removed for them. Mm-hmm. And I think that obviously as a parent, I imagine that we will want to help enrich their life and make it positive in any way we can. But I don't think that that's by making them comfortable all the time.
I
think
agree.
You need adversity and you have to go through hard things to learn anything.
Completely, which is going to be hard to do with our kids living in Los Angeles.
Totally. Like, and if you see, you know, and I think that something that both of our moms used to always say, and I found out that Greg's mom said it too, and I think we've all since decided it's not like a great way to live, but I understand how it can be true, is that they're only as happy as their least happy child.
Yeah.
And it's like you can't
we
have
like
to fight
that.
Against that,
it's
I think.
100%.
But I also understand, I mean, I see it with my stepkids when they're upset. I'm like, oh, it's like it's in your gut.
You want
to fix it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's just not the answer.
It's so true. So, and you want to make it easier for yourself.
Totally.
Too.
Oh, God. Yes.
You know, like for me, as with the 6-year-old right now, we're dealing with that in terms of like the iPad situation and not turning to that when there is discomfort or like feelings of boredom. It's like you need to figure out what to do and be resourceful.
Yep.
We did not like, And that has also put a mirror up to me. I have to, a lot of these things I've been reading about like our devices and if we want our kids to stop, like we have to look at our relationship with our devices too. So now I'm trying, like when I'm with him, phone's gone.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Right. Another thing mantra-wise I've been thinking about that's so like that kind of goes along with the no way out but through is that like nobody can do this but you. And it's like, which I think like has felt really isolating at times. And I think it's why women say that like pregnancy can be so isolating, even if you have like we do like the most amazing
support
systems.
You're still the only
systems.
One experience
I, like nobody can pee 7 times in the middle of the night for me so that I can sleep. Like nobody can go
throw up on my behalf.
Like nobody, it's just me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that also like when I realize that I'm like, you're amazing, you know, which so I think it's a little... That I think about that a lot too.
That just that is how it is being a mom.
Totally.
In general.
Yeah.
Like beyond that, that I think that is so important. Like we're all looking for so much support and all these answers, but we still can feel so alone. And it's because there's no one else that's living your experience except for you.
That's right.
Everyone can try to understand or have similar feelings or validate or support, but it's like it still is a very isolating experience.
Totally. Totally.
Yeah. All right. Well, I love you.
I love you. I could do this forever.
I'm so excited for this little baby.
Me too.
I can't even handle
it. Me too.
I'm like,
can't wait to meet her.
I cannot
wait.
I'm
feeling like flutters and kicks it's just, those are the moments that you're like,
any hair yet? Like, have they been able to see
hair
like,
on
hair?
Her?
Yeah.
No.
Because it's Sunny. I feel like maybe it was like 30 weeks. She started to ask me if I was having really bad indigestion because he had so much hair.
I wonder if this is
and
why mine is so
hairy
bad.
And if they're a hairy baby, it can make you have worse indigestion.
I don't want her to
Timmy
be hairy.
Timmy came out with a black mohawk and a unibrow.
Well, he has a great head of hair still. So
exactly. So that's why when Sunny came out with like dark hair, I was like not concerned.
That is so funny.
Yeah, a hairy baby can make you have worse indigestion.
Perfect. All of these little indignities are just too much to stand. It's so funny.
Oh my God.
I love you.
I love you too.
This is so fun.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you loved this episode. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. I'd love to hear what you think and anything more or even less you'd want to hear about. Tune in every Tuesday for a new episode. If you want to know more about what I'm up to, you can find me on Instagram at Whitney Eve Port, my website, WhitneyPort.com, and my YouTube channel, Whitney Port. Peace in the streets.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.